salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. You have your two favorite Grey's Anatomy fans. I am Kelsey.
And I, while being a new Grey's Anatomy fan, am Carmen. And it is a beautiful day to podcast. And Kelsey, I was closing Facebook before we started this, but a meme just came up. An American eats 2 million pizzas every day was the meme. It's not real.
That's what they think about us.
Where does this come from?
A single American eats 2 million pizzas. I know we have friends listening in other countries, and if you think that's true, it's not. But I wouldn't be mad if it was. Maybe 2 million pizzas lifetime. Nah.
If we're going to get less unreasonable.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
We do love our pizza, though.
Especially Chicago deep dish pizza.
I was really hoping you weren't going to do that, but that's fine. Okay. So we're going to jump right into it because that's what we do here. We are doing episode 13 of the second season, episode 22 overall. It is called Begin the Begin, which is a song. Carmen.
It is a song. And also, before we jump into the song, which I have some stuff pulled up here, if you haven't listened to our mid-season 2 prediction episode, please listen to that. It's our first time doing it. Leave some feedback. We would love to hear if you love it or hate it, or if there are things you want more. Ask questions for our season 3 mid-season prediction show at Dude Thoughts Pod on Instagram and Dude Thoughts Not So Sorry.
I didn't even catch it. Oh my god! I was like, that's it.
Yep. He's saying the right things. Good job, Carmen. It's at Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram. Grey's Academy Pod at gmail.com. Sorry, this happens more than once on both episodes of our podcast. Anyways.
And also, we'll probably do like full season recaps and predictions in between the main seasons as well as these mid-season ones, because I think it's just a good time.
I love it.
Especially there's stuff when we hit those cliffhangers, man.
Well, there were things that we were talking about in the last episode, and I won't say any more about this. I forgot how much good stuff happened. Yeah. How much stuff actually did happen in these 22.
It's nice to revisit the happy times.
Yes, the before four. So, Begin the Begin, it's actually, it's by the band R.E.M., which I've never been a huge fan of. They're okay.
Wow, I love R.E.M.
What?
I love R.E.M. I grew up, it's like one of my dad's favorite bands, so I grew up listening to it, so I know a lot of R.E.M.
I've gotten to see them.
Super bummed that I never got to see them live. They broke up before I was really of R.E.M. concert age, as there are, there's a lot of weed at those, and so I was never invited to an R.E.M. concert.
So fun fact, I have friends who love REM, and we were at a concert and I was like, oh man, I'm so stoked to see REM. And I went there and I did it, and it was REO Speedwagon. So I looked like a fucking noob.
Did you really?
So anyways,
or was that, you just,
I just got them mixed up. I got them mixed up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like there's
a goober.
What's Flavor Flav's band? It's
not the right person to ask that question.
Flavor Flav has a band, and I don't remember what it, there's a story I'll tell on another podcast. I have to remember all the facts, but basically I went to go see a concert thinking it was like this old 80s rock band, and instead it was Flavor Flav because the names are very similar. I do this a lot, apparently.
Public Enemy.
Yes. There's another band. It's another day. Begin the Begin is the first song on REM's fourth album, Life's Rich Pageant. It was written by Michael Stipe, or Stipe, if you're in France. This quote I'm pulling directly off of is from Wikipedia. It's a personal political activism song, which I'm always a fan of. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get that while listening to it, but I really did appreciate, there were some pretty good lyrics in there. I think it fits the episode well because there's a lot of, New Year, new me kind of thing, you know, happening mm-hmm. in this episode. And I think that's it. New Year's is a good metaphor for beginning something, even if you begin the beginning process, which I think is very ironic for this. Mm-hmm. It never charted, but I will have some information about Life's Rich Pageant as an album. It did actually chart as an album in 1986. It reached 21 on the Billboard 200. And it stayed on the charts for 32 total weeks. The singles from the album, Fall On Me and Superman, both charted. Fall On Me got to number 5 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Tracks and 94 on the Hot 100. And then Superman reached 17 on the Mainstream Rock Tracks as well. So not a bad song. Didn't really think it was going to be about anyone specifically, but I thought, okay, well, new year, new me, perfect, love it, mm-hmm. makes sense, and that's all I got for you.
Yeah, perfect, I love it. Okay, let me say, this episode was written by Kip Coing, who has written an episode before now, and directed by Jessica Yu. It aired January 15th, 2006, still airing on Sundays. Tried to Google it, couldn't find out when they switched to Thursdays. I'm just going to keep checking, and I'll tell you whenever it is that I figure it out.
I love that.
It had 18.97 million views, so hanging out.
Last week was 17-something, right?
Yeah, I think we're hanging out in the same general area. This is, you know, a mid-season premiere, so this picked up after the grandma got run over by a reindeer, which didn't super have any cliffhangers.
No.
So it's not like anyone was like, oh, what's going to happen?
Do they make it out from underneath that tree?
Yeah, there are for sure mid-season cliffhangers throughout this series. Pretty common. But there's also a few that just kind of are like, all right, well, now we're taking a break. Merry Christmas. So this was the first, or the second. Okay, so the Netflix synopsis is, Izzy cannot ignore the chemistry she shares with a patient awaiting a heart transplant. George treats Bex, an intersex teenager. That's it. That's the synopsis.
Should we start doing a thing where I add on to the synopsis once it's done?
Or you just rewrite the synopsis.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
If you want that, go to graysacademypod at gmail.com.
What would it be for this one? Izzy flirts with a patient. George is a good doctor. Derek sucks. I think that's
Christina
it, right?
Grapples with her shit.
Oh, right. Christina. And Bailey is pregnant. And
still,
there are rules at the hospital.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's it, right?
Perfect. Perfect synopsis.
I think I nailed that one. We should Netflix hire me. Okay.
Man eats book.
Oh, right. I was so excited when I realized that was a plot in this episode, because that's like, I just think that's so funny every time that it happens. I think it's also, do you know who his wife is? Do you know who that actress is? That is Julie from Friends, who Ross dates in season 2. When he comes back from China, that is Julie.
What? How did I not know that?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, well,
like,
my
gosh. You don't have friends on all the time like I do, because I'm a psychopath. I just have it on
repeat. I need to go rewatch it. So yeah. Friends was ABC or NBC?
NBC. Or
basically, if it's not USA, I couldn't just pinpoint anyone from out of a crowd and say, you've been on the show!
It's on HBO Max now, so.
I know. No, I know. I just,
because then I think it would be on Disney Plus if it was.
Disney Plus.
Also, I found out that Grey's Anatomy is on Disney Plus in a lot of other international countries. So
interesting.
I think, I was reading an article that was like ranking the top streamed movies and shows of 2021, and Grey's, and it was on, just on Disney Plus, and Grey's Anatomy was on there. And they said, they're like, oh, it's on Netflix in the States, but a lot of other places it's on Disney Plus. So,
they must have a contract that hasn't run out yet.
If it's off of Netflix where you live, then hopefully it's on, it's accessible to you on Disney Plus. So, which is way cheaper than Netflix right now. So that's good. So yeah, so I found that to be interesting. I wanted to mention that. Okay. So
wait, can I do one thing real quick?
Please do.
Shout out to our dear friend Ryan, because I have been using your Netflix account for this entire podcast. You, sir, are the glue blood that lives inside of me when I'm taking notes. I think of you and your sweet, sweet man face.
Also, while we're doing shout outs, we were going to read the review that we got left.
Yeah. Do you want to read that? Do you have it pulled up?
Yeah, I have it pulled up. So this review comes from user Gilly6ever. So if you leave us a review, we will also read it on the podcast and shout you out, and also love you and appreciate you forever. So the topic is, it's a great day to rate this podcast, which is incredible.
Oh, that's so clever.
I love it. Kelsey and Carmen do an excellent job recapping Grey's. It's very easy when two friends podcast for the listener to feel on the outside. However, these two really do a great job of bringing the listener in. In fact, multiple times I feel like I'm in the room with them and part of the conversation. I have even found myself commenting out loud multiple times. That's what we strive for. I do the same thing when I listen to most podcasts. They have great chemistry. I've seen the series multiple times, and it's so much fun to rewatch through Carmen's eyes as a first-time viewer. So entertaining, so captivating. I get excited for each episode to come out every week. So thank you so much. We love it. We so appreciate the ratings that you guys are leaving. If you have a moment to write out a review, it's super helpful. It just kind of helps on algorithms and other weird tech stuff that kind of just helps people find us easier. Like when they search us, it's going to bump us up a little bit more, and we're on Discover pages and stuff like that. So when you share on Instagram, that's helpful, and on Facebook. And then if you can leave those reviews and ratings, we really, really appreciate it, and it super helps. So thank you so much.
Yes. And also, that wasn't a fart. If you heard that, it was me running out of water in my cup right when you finished that sentence.
Carmen's trying to hydrate and he's not.
Yes. All right. The recap. I'll start here. They talked about a lot, but the first scene was the Derek and Addison.
I love,
boo-hoo. Fair warning, this is another Derek fuckboy episode. Yep. Derek, you are not my favorite person in the world anymore. Patrick Dempsey, you're still pretty cool.
He's not even trying to hide it.
Not at all! Derek, no. Fuck you, dude. Addison, yeah. I'm team Addison.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, yeah, that was the first one. I was like, oh, yeah, he just did that thing. Which, again, I appreciate that he's finally being honest. I don't love the way it was done. So that was in the recap, which tells us that he's going to be annoying in this episode about Meredith.
Yes.
And that Addison is probably going to be rightfully upset. Excuse me.
You know, the only person who deserves to be honest is George Washington when he's talking about he's working with a third of what his Congress has promised.
I thought you were going to say when he was talking about the cherry tree, which is a made-up story that didn't happen. So,
I think I read in Outlander when I watched that it actually happened.
You read in the show that you watched? Yes,
I was hoping you wouldn't catch that.
Oh, delightful. Man. Okay, anyways. So then we recap Ellis, obviously, so we know that Ellis is making a comeback. Obviously, Alex and Izzy and the Olivia. There's a dog. Christina got rid of her, did not keep her baby, is with Burke. Bailey has a baby in her tummy. Yeah, that was it, right? That was everything in the recap.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good recap.
Thanks. So upon that recap, what did you feel was going to occur in this episode?
I immediately, like you said, I was braced for not liking Derek in this episode. Mm-hmm. Because they put it at the beginning so that they would think he would forget that he's going to be a douchebag about Addison. But then they immediately cut to Izzy looking hot with a great hair day. And I'm like, I don't even remember what happened in the recap anymore. it was sandwiched. Anything that happened between Derek being stupid and Izzy being hot, I was like, well, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, so we start with Izzy in the bathroom drinking her coffee and lots of yelling and the dog barking. And then George comes in. The dog's still barking. Izzy's like, I'm going to dye my hair. And George is like, I'm going to cut my hair. So they're having some kind of identity crises. Whatever.
Because of the dog.
I don't, I mean, Izzy's, I think, might be more relationship motivated.
Oh, and that makes more sense.
George might have just looked in a mirror and said, my hair is too long. So, and then they like hear the dog being nice to Meredith and they're annoyed because they think that the dog is a demon. And
just
Meredith
train
like,
the dog.
Yeah, it's hard. Excuse me. It's hard because they clearly work a lot of times. If they're being capped at 80 hours, that means they're spending more than 80 hours up to this point. In which case, I would just say you shouldn't have gotten a dog.
Yeah.
Would be the 100%. Responsible thing to do. But that's done. And yes, I also am on Meredith's side because it doesn't matter if a dog is poorly trained. You love it because it's a dog and dogs are better than people. And that's just how I feel. If you want to be mad at the owners for not training the dog, that's fine.
But oh, yeah. I'm mad. I'm mad at all the owners for not training that dog. That dog could be a good boy, and they're letting that dog
all
be a shit boy.
All dogs are great boys on the inside. They just don't always know how to channel their emotions.
That's
and
fair.
I very much believe that just dogs are gifts to humanity that we don't deserve. And a dog could maul me in the face, and I would be like, it's fine. I deserved it.
That's where you and I, that's the only thing that you and I have differing opinions on in the entire world.
I love all the dogs. Every dog can do whatever it wants.
You shit on the floor, fine.
I mean, it's not fine, but I still, like, love the dog. Anyways.
My hands are in my shirt because I'm so cold.
Do you not have a blanket?
It's over there.
There are trillions of blankets all over your house.
They're all upstairs. Anyways, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Derek is like, look, I brought us a fish to eat for breakfast. And Addison's like, just so you know, I hate this stupid fucking trailer that you make me live in while you love someone else. And I think that's fine. It's valid. Even if he didn't love anyone else, it would probably be annoying to live in that stupid trailer. And then,
yeah,
go ahead.
The scene leading up to him walking in with the trout, though, they cut to deer like jumping across a stream. They made it a point
that
B-roll to like
footage.
Yeah, let's I love shows and I'm just like, oh man, they couldn't think of things to put in, so they put an aerial shot or they put a time-lapse video of, you know, cars driving by.
We're in
deer.
A different city. So look, here's establishing shots of the fact that now we're in Philadelphia.
Yeah. But it's so okay. She's lasted way longer in that airstream than I would have thought.
Yeah.
Which also sets it up to, I believe they're sleeping in the same bed like every night then, right?
Yeah. It would appear she's no longer living in a hotel. They share a marital bed once again. We know they have had the sexuals at least twice.
Yes.
So good for Derek for getting someone who's so wildly out of his league because he sucks so much.
If we're going strictly off of looks, I think they're both pretty.
They're pretty well matched if you're going
line.
Off of looks. If you're going off of personality and general existence, Derek blows. I do like it. I do think it's funny when she's like having her screaming times and he just goes, so no trout for you then.
Yeah, I was like, man, I'll take some trout, but he doesn't even cook it because then he cooks the same trout later.
Yeah, whatever.
Just cook the trout.
Richard is visiting Ellis, and she thinks it is a long time ago, and they are boning up a storm. All the
metaphorically sex. Speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in her memories.
Yes,
not in this true reality of time.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Especially where he says something about other person's wedding.
Funeral. He's like, oh, I went to his wife's funeral. And she's like, he's not married. You're just tired.
Oh, is it the wedding? Funeral. I thought he said wedding.
No. Because he says, oh, I saw him at his wife's funeral.
Wow. I heard I saw him at his wedding. That's what I thought he said. So I misheard that.
Well,
much more sad.
Well, she said, oh, he's not married. So that's maybe why you were confused. So, yeah, it is. And then she's like, oh, you're just tired because it's really hard, like, what we're doing. And we're just, like, working so much.
At this point in the episode, I had no idea what possibly the reason could be that he was there to visit, other than he still loves her in some capacity.
Yeah.
Which I think he does, but not the way that we see later on in the episode.
Right. And then we see Christina and Burke. He's asking if she could make a decision. So we learned that she has not actually given him an answer about moving in, which I did not realize. I kind of thought, because in the episode where they discuss that, at the end of it, you know, it cuts to them having sexy time. So it's kind of implied that, oh, everything's fine. They're just going to live together.
Well, and then every shot of them afterwards was either him making her food that she didn't want or her coming into the bed while he's reading.
Right, right, right. It was, yeah. They didn't really allude to the fact that this was still up in the air prior to this moment. And she's like, I don't have an answer. I'm not, like, trying to be difficult. I just don't have an answer yet. And then he asks, wait, is this the same scene or am I getting, I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I?
It's the same scene where he's like, so what's up with the baby?
Burke was like, what were you planning on doing with the baby? And then he gets called in by the nurse. So like, okay, we're ready for you to come in.
I'm honestly shocked that the baby question hadn't come up sooner.
Yeah. It's interesting to me as well. I want to know, like, what happened to kind of give him the courage, I guess. Maybe that's why he wasn't asking, is like, he didn't want to, he's like trying to tread lightly. Cause like, obviously it was a sensitive topic, especially if she had maybe been planning on keeping it. You know, it would be definitely an emotional thing to process a miscarriage that happened in that way, where you also like lost an ovary. So, I guess maybe that's why he hadn't asked yet, but I would love to know the backstory on why he was finally like, I'm going to ask now.
Yeah. If you're one of the writers and you were in the writer's room with that, what's the backstory?
Yeah. Let me
come
know.
On the show.
Hit me up. Meredith comes in. She has a sidekick. Because it's 2006, and that's what we were doing in 2006, having sidekicks. So
I was poor. I didn't get no sidekick.
Yeah, I never had a sidekick. But I wanted one because I thought they were neat.
They still are cool. It's just they're not as cool as the iPhones.
The iPhones.
Yes.
So then we learn that they are going to be enforcing the rules of no work over 80 hours. So they're going to be keeping track of it better and making sure people leave because they want to cut down on mistakes being made and exhaustion and things like that, which is valid. These are people's lives.
Yeah. Except then he casually throws in that the nurses are going to work more to compensate.
Yeah. I did want to make sure we noted that because I feel like it's important to note.
For later episodes.
And also in life, nurses are already doing a lot. And so to just be like, oh, also be nice to the nurses because they're going to be covering your asses. Well, first of all, you should be nice to them regardless because they do a lot. And if there were no nurses, hospitals would not run correctly.
Yeah. If you want a masterclass on how to treat nurses, just ask Jessica what I did for the nurses when we delivered Marlo. Masterclass.
Jessica also helped with that.
No, she was nice to them, but I bought them pizza and donuts and coffee.
She made those little baskets.
I gave her the money to make those baskets.
She has a job.
Does she?
Yes.
All right.
That's why she goes there all the time and does it.
That's funny. Also,
yes. Go ahead.
Can you... the scene? I want to jump ahead to the scene where Bailey's like, that's stupid. I remember when I was working 100, 120, 150 hours. Like, there's not even that many hours in a week. What are you doing?
I think there are that many hours in a week.
What? Hold on.
24 times 7? 25 times 5 is 125.
It's 168. So if she's doing 150 hours at the hospital, what are you doing? How do you live?
Not leaving the hospital. Like, they're just not leaving the hospital for a full week. They're just sleeping. Like at the end of the other episode where she was just asleep on the current gurney.
Classy. I love her.
Yeah, she's a queen. Izzy says that she's going to get over the Alex bullshit. And she apologizes and is kind. And I hope it's genuine because that storyline is annoying.
Yeah, me too. I hope it's done. At first, I was like, why even say it if you've gotten over it? And then I was like, you know what? No. You took the time. You said it. Then you apologized.
And apologized, yes.
Yes. And then you asked, oh, how'd your test go? We're rooting for you. We all are.
And George is like, we are, which I think is funny. He's like, what? Are we though? And then he says he feels good about the test, but he hasn't found out yet. So that's good. Okay, so Christina and Burke are in surgery. The chief comes in and says, hey, we have this heart for Denny Duquette. And he's like, how much time do you have? Do you want to go get it? And he's like, no, I don't. I have to finish this surgery. Send Bailey because she'll be better. And that way I can get updates on the state of it. And then the chief is like, Christina, you've been here too long. Go away. And she goes, okay, I will after the surgery. And he goes, no, you're going to do it right now. And so she is mad and she leaves.
Before we go into this Denny Duquette entrance, can I just say that the scene where she got over the Alex and her bullshit, Izzy and Alex bullshit, I wrote, I'm officially no longer pulling for them to get together.
Okay.
Let it be known.
Do you want to revisit your prediction in case anyone didn't listen to the mid-season episode?
I think if I remember from that, because I sometimes just speak out of my ass and don't even know what I'm saying.
No.
Sometimes. did I say in the next four episodes?
Yes, including this one.
Including this one. So, spoiler alert, we're down to three episodes.
Yeah.
But I stick to that. But it was in this scene officially. I officially do not want Alex and Izzy together.
Yes. For those who missed it, he's predicting that within the next four, including this one, so three after this, Izzy and George will have slept together. So by the end of episode 17, right? Because this is 13.
This
14,
is 13.
15.
So yeah.
By the end of 16.
So 13, 14, 15, 16. Yes. We have until S2 E16.
Yes, so we'll see what happens. So then
Denny Duquette.
We meet Denny. Give me your impression of Denny.
Love him.
Do you know this actor? Surely you do, right? He's a pretty famous actor.
He's not. He looks like Javier Bardem.
He does.
But I don't know who he is.
He also looks like Gerard Butler.
No, he does not. Huge Gerard Butler fan. No.
Well, let me just say I get him and Gerard Butler confused all the time.
You wear glasses, right?
No.
You should.
This is not that far off from that man.
It's so blurry I can't even see it. You need to just send it to me.
Easily confused.
Who is that?
That's Gerard Butler.
Okay,
see,
it's so blurry.
I love him so much. I don't even know
it's
what he looks
It's so
like.
Blurry. I didn't want to say it was this guy and then have you be like, oh, see, haha, I told you. But he looked like Javier Bardem and he is not, but I like this guy. What did he say? Like, hey, you're into me. Like I'm handsome but not too handsome. I'm wealthy but not too wealthy or some shit. And he's like putting the moves on and I'm like, yeah, man, but you're definitely not getting a heart. I could call this a mile away. You may not die this episode, but you're not getting a heart, and you and Izzy are not getting together.
So this actor's name is Jeffrey Dean Morgan, right? Why are you not on the internet? There we go. And he is a big part in Supernatural, which I know you don't watch because you don't like scary things. And also a huge character in The Walking Dead, which I know you don't watch because you don't like scary things. But he's also
tried watching it. I didn't like it.
Oh, I never watched it. I don't like
zombies aren't scary.
Storylines.
Ghosts are scary.
See, zombies
demons are
scarier
scary.
To me because I feel like it's more of a possibility than like it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Zombies don't have the established brain capacity to sneak up on you in your own house through the walls.
But even if a ghost did that, then what is it going to do?
Kill me.
When
destroy
has that
me.
Ever happened?
No,
one
not
time,
that I know of.
One time it happened. Never again. It's on record. he was also in I want to say he was in P.S. I Love You. I'm pretty sure I'm not making that up. No, I'm yeah, he was in P.S.
Is that the
I
song
Love
with,
You.
Is it the movie with Topher Grace?
No. You're thinking of oh my god.
Wimbledon.
Oh.
Right? Where he dates a
no,
tennis
win
girl.
A, win a date with Tad Hamilton. It's the only movie I could tell you that Topher Grace has ever been in.
Really?
Yep. And
oh,
that's
funny.
Show. That's it. That's the end of his career.
Oh, gosh. He was in Spider-Man 3?
It's possible that I get Gerard Butler and Jeffrey Dean Morgan confused because they were both in this film.
P.S. I Love You?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also in this film, Jeffrey Dean Morgan sings and plays the guitar and has an accent, and it is a very good time. So, anyways, P.S. I love you. It's fine. It's a rom-com, but, yes.
It's not just a Beatles song.
Yeah, correct. It's not. Anyways, so yeah, Denny is immediately very flirty, and it's, and Izzy is not mad about it. You know, he's cute. I'm not going to say he's not cute. He needs a new heart because his does not work right, as does most people who need new hearts because theirs doesn't work right. So, yeah. Obviously, Izzy gets assigned to the case. Obviously, she's going to get too invested, as per always. So, we've got
not even a spoiler anymore. Just assume she's going to get too involved.
It's a spoiler if I say, and Izzy is professional and doesn't do anything wrong. What? So then we see George talking to Bailey and doing that thing where he doesn't know how to speak to humans again. He's doing a really bad job.
Oh, you look fresh. You look spry. You're glowing. I gotta go.
Yeah. I do love it when Christina says, "You do glow," and Alex says, "Like the moon." So funny. So she sends George to go work with Addison. Addison's patient is there for a biopsy. They're not sure what they're biopsying. So they're doing an ultrasound to look at it, and then they're going to do the biopsy later. Give me your impressions of this family situation when you first met them.
Right off the bat, I hate the mom because she's like, she's too young for cancer, right? I wish that were true.
Well, she's concerned.
Right. But I get that. But, like, don't be so dumb.
She's definitely very, not the worst parents we've seen on this show.
No. You could tell that it's sheltered. It's sheltering. Yeah. Too well, much
it's
sheltered.
It's like they're, I just would say they're very, like, maybe traditional and more, like, you know, she's clearly an only child. And they're kind of on the, like, we don't really know how to, like, connect with her. She clearly has interests that are different from theirs and from other kids her age. So we, like, don't know really how to, like, help her fit in or what to do for her and all this stuff. So, like, they're clearly, you know, it's not like that lady who was the demon who was like, everything is your fault and nothing you do is good enough.
And it's, you're fat.
Their concerns come from, like, a place of good, you know. And, you know, it doesn't seem like they're the reason that she's very unhappy.
I didn't see the plot twist with her having an ovary and testes inside her body until they said, oh, that's not an ovary. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she has balls inside of her. That was my thought. Obviously, I'm professional. I'm a doctor. I know that's testes. It's not actually a ball sack floating around. But it I also made a note later on. I don't know if they were going for trying to make this girl look homely, but like, I hope that Marlo grows up and into a beautiful young woman like that. She's a beautiful girl, and she's got. It's hard to think. Also, what society does to girls at that age because she wants to have boobs.
Yeah, and she wants to like boys the way everyone else likes boys, and she wants to just feel more like she belongs and. I don't know necessarily that they were saying like, oh, she's unattractive so much as like, she's just like uncomfortable in her own skin and she doesn't know how to be who she is.
Yeah.
Also I looked up that actress and she's done like one other thing since Grey's Anatomy and nothing else. So I don't know what she's doing now. I think she maybe decided she didn't want to be an actress and that's fine. There are lots of things in the world to be. So also we get like a small shot of her wrists where she's clearly like struggled through depression and self-harm, which, is just, discussed later on, but
yes,
just think it's important to note obviously for her character.
Yes. It's also worth noting now, if you're someone who has experienced this or know someone who has, please encourage that person, gently and empathetically to seek help. I know people who have, you know, done self-harm and it can turn very scary very quickly and you don't want to lose someone to something like that. So
there's also little plug. You don't know how to approach that conversation, you can even call like suicide hotlines and ask them for their advice. Because they're trained in many, many. And they even have, like, text hotlines now if you're not, like, a big phone person. Because a lot of us aren't. So we are lucky to have many, many resources to help ourselves and our loved ones with that. And then, okay, so then we meet Alex's patient, the author, who has a foreign mass blocking his bowel. He will not admit what he ate. He just says he ate a steaming pile of garbage, and Julie is over in the corner knitting a scarf.
And for Ross.
She thinks it's hilarious, basically, which it is, and I just think their dynamic is very, very funny. And he basically is like, I wrote this book and it was bad, so I ate it so that I could put it behind me.
Which is the way he looks directly deadpan in the camera, garbage. Absolute garbage. I had to watch that like 5 times because I was actually crying. He's
so
hilarious.
Also, this is like the latest it's ever taken us to get an intro. It was almost 11 minutes before we got to the intro, and it was the full intro again. It wasn't just the little title card. So that was fun. Okay, so the hormone screening for Bex's blood test come back, and they're super weird. They basically say, oh, it looks like she's taking birth control, but it wasn't in the charts, but her parents were there, so maybe she's like keeping it from them. So George goes to talk to her to confront her. In between that, real quick, we get Richard pulling Derek aside and being like, hey, I need a favor. But then George goes to talk to her, and she's like, he's like, hey, are you on birth control? Your hormones are crazy. And she's really concerned that he's going to tell her parents. He goes, no, we just need to know like what's going on. And she says she just took them because she wanted to get boobs, which again, you know, societal standards, and when everyone else around you looks a certain way and is like having boys interested in them, it's definitely like being a teenager isn't fun. It's just not. Even if you're like really good at it, it's just not the greatest time.
Yeah. And then she says she's taking 5 pills a day.
Yeah.
Which, oh my gosh, it's I've never taken birth control. It's crazy though, right?
Yeah. I've been on like a billion different ones because I have a lot of like hormone stuff that has to be dealt with. So I was never able to just do like an IUD or like the thing in the arm where you don't have to worry about it. I had to like be on the pill because of like for hormone control stuff. And it's crazy. Like every time you switch to a new one, your body is just like, what is happening? It's just wild. It's unpleasant. Also, there's also no guarantee that birth control will make your boobs get bigger. It does for some girls, and for some girls, it just doesn't. So don't take 5 birth control pills a day. I'm not a doctor, but please don't do that.
Yeah, as a rule of thumb, don't take 5 times recommended dose of anything.
Yeah, always just follow what your doctor told you to do on prescription medication. It's a good rule to follow. Okay, and then our favorite thing, I wrote in all caps, oh look, Derek and Meredith in the elevator again. What a good time for all of us.
This is my least favorite scene in the whole episode.
And then I wrote, damn it, Derek, fuck off, because he is so annoying. He is so blatantly, like, aggressively flirting, and he's like, I'm not over you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to stand right on top of you and breathe all up in your face and, like, wish that we were making out, even though I'm married, because I picked my wife, even though I could have picked you, but I just chose to stay with my wife and then continue to be a big, huge turd to everybody.
Yeah, first off, this where she walks in, I was like, okay, so this is going to go one of two ways, but I already know that Addison's going to show up. And it went the worst way. It went Derek being a piece of garbage and saying that he's still not over her and getting really close and being uncomfortable. And then he's like looking
like,
her up and down.
And he's like, oh, I love dogs.
Yeah, like, bro, you're looking her up and down like you're about to take her clothes off on this elevator right now. You're married. You're a fucking you're you know what, Derek? We're no longer friends.
Honestly, I wouldn't be friends with them either.
And then Addison just walks in and is hilarious and steals the scene.
Ugh, yeah, she's the best. I do think that line is funny where he's like, there is a land called Passive Aggressiva and you are their queen. And I'm like, you deserve anything she does to you that's bad.
100%.
And also 1,000 times worse than anything she does to you. You deserve to be stabbed in your kneecaps and then kicked in your wiener.
With a trout bone.
A trout bone. So yeah, it's just not, it's just not a good look. And she's like, I'm just mad because I hate the trailer. which she should. She is a queen. She deserves a palace. Or at least an actual building.
She can stay with Jessica, Marlo, and I.
Oh, that's so nice of you. So then we go back to Alex's patient. He's going into surgery to remove the book. Christina is trying to sneak on to Bailey's case because she doesn't want to not be doing work because she's Christina. Which I find this to be interesting because she's such a type A personality and she's very by the rules. So it's interesting that she's like, this is the line. She's like, well, I'll break the rules if it means I get to learn more. Because she's just such a nerd and I love that about her.
It is interesting where her internal line is at and where yeah. she's justifying that.
Yeah.
Because she's not getting paid.
Right. And, you know, she's spending time on a plane, which I'm not positive how hospitals work, but I don't feel like they have private planes laying around for people to just fly to Idaho and get a heart.
But well, they probably had to rent that because the heart transplant's going to give $1 million worth of money to the hospital.
I don't know if that's how things work, but if you do and you're listening, email us and tell us because we don't know anything because we're not doctors.
Or insurance agents.
So then Addison and George do the biopsy, and then Addison leaves and George talks to Bex about the scars on her arm. And also, I truly don't know the most appropriate way to refer to Bex because, you know, for most of this episode, we are meant to believe that she is a girl and she identifies as a girl, but she's just unhappy. I do think maybe this would be a they situation if I'm doing pronouns.
They, them.
In the
yeah.
current time, I feel like this character would be a they, them. So I'm going to try and refer moving forward to this character as a they, them. I might slip up and say her again, because just throughout the time, I think if this episode, I think they still handled the storyline really well. But I think if it was a storyline that was occurring now, I think it would have just been more. It would still be a difficult, obviously, conversation to tell the child and also the parents. But I think it would have just been like, maybe this character would have already had feelings about like not necessarily identifying as a female or even a male. So I don't really know if that's the right thing to do. I just feel like it's very much like a, like, obviously, by the end of the episode, we're meant to believe that this character clearly does not identify fully as being female. So
I wish they would have tried to take some time away from the paperback writer and get some more time, because I would have loved to have seen a conversation with Bex in a psych consult, like, and actually
yeah.
dig into that.
Yeah. Again, I think because, you know, you think back 2006, it doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but it is a crazy long time ago. And I think it's bold to do storylines like this and handle them so well. But just recognizing, like, had this storyline been in more current times, it would have been handled even more differently and hopefully more, like, accepted. So, yeah. So George talks to Bex about the scars from the self-harm and is like, I just don't understand why someone who's so talented is doing this. And he just connects really well and is like, I had this experience in high school. Not everyone has just perfect high school. You know, you're not the only one who has like terrible high school experiences. I promise it gets better. Like, look at me. I'm a doctor. You know, here's all the things that I was awkward and weird about. And it is what it is, but you can get through high school and it's worth it to get through high school. So it was a nice moment for George. I think he did a good job connecting with her and a good job generally doctoring.
Yeah, there's one line where he says, high school is not for anyone who's the least bit different. Mm-hmm. And it's right. like, wow, George, laying the truth bombs.
Yeah, so, you know, high school can be a great experience for some people and be a terrible experience for others. And your experience
or
is
both at the same
experience.
Time.
Yeah. So just be kind to people. There's no need to be dicks. Okay. Izzy goes to check on Denny and he is immediately flirting again. He straight up is like, are you dating Alex? Because I don't want to have to fight him for you.
Well, before that, they have a conversation where he's like, hey, can I ask you an inappropriate question? And then he said, if you don't let me, I'm going to hold my breath and you're going to get charged with homicide because I'll die. And that was a fun dynamic between the two of them. I want to call that out.
I mean, they have a good back and forth. They've got good chemistry.
This is where she says she's with Hildy, right?
Yeah, she's like, I can take Hildy. And then he's like, oh, it's not fair for you to bring up girl on girl. Now I can't think so, whatever, whatever. Anyways, so they're just really flirting back and forth, whatever. It's fine. Meredith is at home. She's doing lots of laundry. Then we're back at the hospital. Bex's biopsies come back. And that's when we find out it is not an ovary. It is a testy. And George is like, I don't understand what this means. So that's fun. Bailey and Christina.
That only happened that only happened because Addison was like, hey, did you biopsy both? He's like, no, just one. And she's like, go biopsy both, you idiot. Yeah. And then it comes back and they're like, oh, wow, we're all idiots.
Yes. This is a surprise. So Bailey and Christina are on the plane and she is just leering at Bailey's stomach.
Leering is the perfect word.
She's like afraid, but also intrigued. And Bailey's just like, stop staring at my stomach. So then we cut to Addison, George, and the guy from the psych ward who we have met before, talking to Bex's parents. They are understandably confused because I obviously like no one would expect that news,
right?
They again, this is something, you know, this many years ago, not super common. People definitely wouldn't understand, and like again, they're already in a difficult place because they see that their child is struggling to fit in and is like not really aware of their identity, and so it just kind of adds another layer on the whole situation, and they're unsure what to do. So they're just in panic mode. Addison is like, you should go to therapy. And they're like, Bex is already in therapy. And she's like, no, you should all go together because this affects everybody. This is not just about your kid anymore. This is a family situation. They're just not receptive. I think they're just kind of overwhelmed and shutting down. And it's just surprising. They went in thinking, like, worst case scenario, it could be a cancer. So this is clearly just not something that would have been on anybody's radar.
Yeah. And I want to kind of tie this scene and the next scene together because the parents are like, hey, just while you're there, you're in the neighborhood, go and just take that testy out, right? and I really... My knee-jerk reaction was, yo, you guys are fucking stupid, right? But can you blame them?
I feel like
you're making that choice for your kid.
If you think what I fault them for is saying they don't even want Bex to be told about the situation. That is the obvious wrongdoing. Obviously, if they aren't medical professionals, if they truly think that removing this testy will help regulate the hormones and help alleviate some of the like distress and issues that their child is going through, I kind of could understand the thought process that they're going through on that. However, they're not medical professionals, and Addison even says this is not a solution and it could even potentially make it worse. Also, I'm not going to perform any surgery on a patient without them knowing that I'm doing it.
And no one would.
Yeah, which is an appropriate stance to take. I also appreciate that Addison is firm, but very professional still.
Unlike George.
Yeah, which honestly, though, I'm still kind of on his side. Like, he's not wrong. Especially because he has already established this connection with Bex. It kind of makes sense. He's almost pulling an Izzy. Where he's. Just,
I was
like, going to
say,
invested.
I made that exact same note.
He's very invested, but like, it's not so much for him. Like, I don't know, with Izzy, it just seems selfish. Like George, it really seems like it's more like, he's like, no, this is just wrong. Like what you're doing is just wrong.
Well, yeah. When he, in that scene, he's like, hey, like, what do you want me to just lie to her? Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And there's, I think if I was a doctor, there'd be a line in the sand of where the Hippocratic Oath is not just physical, but mental.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're doing harm to that person's mental state long term.
Oh, for sure. In between those two scenes, we get a quick scene of Alex's patient, who is basically just babbling incoherently. And Burke going to see Denny and kind of establishing, oh, like, he's here a lot because he has heart problems. And then we get the scene with the parents, like, asking whatever. And George is mad. And he should be, honestly. Derek is visiting Ellis. And Meredith is surprised and then is like, hey, don't do that. And he's like, no, there's this clinical trial. I think she'd be a great candidate. And she's like, no, seriously, go away.
And well, there was a cut in between. They had a commercial break in between the two. I was like, what, Derek, what? Go home.
Yeah. Were you surprised that that was the favor that Richard had asked them to do? And he was there when she was like, oh, visitors make her happy. Did you think it was just going to be Richard again?
Yes, I
and
just thought
Derek
that
walks around the corner and you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. Good misdirect, Shonda and team.
Honestly. So Burke calls Bailey for an update. Christina's like, don't tell him that I'm here. Burke is not super pleased with the state of the heart that they're supposed to be getting. It's like on a bunch of medication and he wants it weaned off a lot of medication before he does the transplant. That's doctor stuff. Then George is asking Meredith, like, hey, when would have been the best time to find out that your boyfriend had a wife? And she goes, are you mad at me? Or and he's like, no, I just have this patient and it's just kind of like difficult news and I don't know like how to deliver it.
That raised my question. When is the right time to really give bad news like that? There's never always a good time.
I mean, if you're in a hospital, listen, because of the way my brain works, if I go into a hospital, I'm assuming I'm coming out with bad news. And if I don't, I'm pleasantly surprised. So my thing is, I'm like, just the whole time, anytime a doctor walks in, I'm like, okay, cool. So you're going to tell me that you have to like chop off my thumb. I don't know. Whatever.
Thumb. Interesting. I'd like to dig into that in therapy.
You'd have to go to do that.
I'm healed.
Okay. Weber and Alex are doing the surgery and Alex is like, hey, I want to keep an eye on this guy because he was kind of like having a moment before surgery and I'm a little bit concerned. I just want to make sure we don't miss anything. And Weber says, well, listen, we're really short staffed. So no. So then George is with Bex and basically is like, why is everyone acting weird? Like, what's wrong? Why won't anyone tell me? And then just straight up asks George, like, you're going to take a tumor off my ovary, right? And they all just stare at him and he goes, okay, so am I just supposed to lie or?
Right. So then, well, it's also, so also backtracking, that novel they took out of that guy looked like a fucking meatball.
Yeah.
So disgusting.
It's gross.
What the human body does to stuff once it goes into your mouth is just disgusting.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like about the scene after that is the mom's like, you engineered that conversation. Oh, yeah. Like, how? How could he be playing chess with this young child with an underdeveloped brain? They don't know. He doesn't know. And you weren't there in any of the room conversations where they had that connection.
Yeah. Can't predict the future. He couldn't just know, like, oh, for sure my patient will ask me this exact question so that I can react in a way that I want to react. So again, it's just a knee-jerk reaction to the parents, like, not knowing what the hell is happening and wanting someone to blame. They're mad. Addison is like not that mad. Because I think she super agrees with George. And she's like, maybe, you know, disagrees with the way it went down. But she's like, fucking good.
Glad I'm not getting thrown off the case.
So what's interesting is when they do tell Bex what the results were, she's not terribly distraught. Like, surprised, but very open to the idea of being like, it's just kind of, it seemed like there was maybe a moment of clarity of like, this is maybe why I feel the way that I feel. And I'm sure if you're struggling with things like that, it would be nice to be able to pinpoint why, at least like have a reason. It doesn't change the fact that you feel that way, but it would be nice to be like, oh, now there's at least a
there's
source.
Justification. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes. And I even wrote, I'm on Team George.
I am too, which never happens, except for that one time he saved someone in an elevator.
Yeah, that was a good one. So then Alex checks in the patient, speaking, I mean, just gibberish, absolutely nonsensical. Concerned. So he's concerned, as he should be. Derek tells Richard that Ellis would be a good candidate for the trial, but basically says, if it comes from me, Meredith isn't going to listen. And you need to explain to her that you asked me to do this and that, like, it's a good choice because there's no baggage. It's just a friend helping a friend. And Richard's like,
right.
Yeah. Friends. We're just friends. Naked friends.
See, yeah, naked, erect, moist friends.
Gross. Then Alex tells Weber that he thinks his patient has mercury poisoning. Bailey tells Christina she has to call Burke with an update, and Christina's like, fuck.
You got me. I'm caught.
So she calls, and she's like, it's me. And he goes, I can't talk to you. I'm waiting for Bailey. And she goes, I'm with Bailey. You're in Idaho. And she goes, you're breaking the rules. And she goes, yes.
Sue me.
Correct. So they give the update. Basically, there's damage in the heart. It's not looking great. Then Weber tells Meredith that it was him that asked Derek. And then Alex tells his patient, oh, they have a nice moment, right? So he treats him for the mercury poisoning, so he's not a babbling lunatic anymore. And the guy's like, I need plan B. And Alex is like, there's no plan B. Like, this is just what we are. Sometimes we're not good at it. If I make a mistake, someone dies. If you make a mistake, like, no one reads your book. It's not a big deal. Like, there's not a plan B. Just keep going. Which, it's a nice moment, and it's a nice Alex moment that I really appreciate.
Yeah, and also, I made a note here because this guy is asking the questions that you and I would be asking. Because he's like, yeah, you know, I make a mistake all the time. And he's like, am I hallucinating? And I'm like, man, if this was Kelsey or myself, that's what we'd be asking. If a doctor says, oh, yeah, people make mistakes and die all the time. Perfect. Glad I fucking brought my money here.
And my life.
Yeah, more importantly. Right, totally. Priorities.
So Christina and Bailey are back on the plane. Christina's staring again. Bailey's annoyed, but then they have a very nice conversation, very honest conversation that I really appreciated. Where Bailey is like, I considered not keeping this baby because we tried for a really long time. And then, you know, right when my career takes off is when it happened. And I just didn't know how I could do my work the way that we do our work. And still, you know, parent this child. And then one day I just knew I could do both. I don't know how, but I just knew I could do both. So I just thought it was a nice moment.
Yeah, with any time, I think back to Jessica and I, when we had been trying to have Marlo, and it wasn't like a super long time that we were trying and failing. It was, what, I think 3 months or something like that. But even when you first get that test and it's positive, it's like, oh my gosh, wait, like, hold on. Are we ready for this? Like, should we be doing this? So I'm really glad that Bailey broke down that wall, because that's not something that I think would be easy to talk about, especially back in 2006.
Yeah, for sure. And so Izzy and Denny are back to flirting, and he's like, I'm not getting the heart. And she's like, no, you're not getting the heart. It's sad. But they're still flirting.
Well, she can't let him down too hard.
Yeah. So let's take a break for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
We have John Prosky, who is Bex's father, was in 4 episodes of Scandal and 1 episode of Private Practice. Shannon Cochran, who was Bex's mother, was in 3 episodes of Scandal, not the same as what the other guy was in, just so you know. And then Joyce Guy, who was like an administrative person at some point. I forget who it was. Sorry. But she was in 1 episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And that was it.
Wonderful. So, eloquent. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thanks. And now 5-star performance. Inventing Anna to my Shondaland list. So hopefully we'll we'll see people down the road that are in that. I'm excited. Always excited to have another Shonda show.
Just be careful, though, because I think you need to start with a spoiler alert. Don't listen to this. And then you need to say it's with Inventing Anna, because you don't want to spoil it if it's, you know, someone they bring back, or if it's their first time in that show. And then
there's only 9 episodes in that show, though.
But that's and a newer show.
It's based on a true story. Also, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. I don't care. Yes. I'm not spoiling it. It's been number one on Netflix for like 2 weeks. It's a good show. If you're a Shonda fan, you've probably already watched it. I also really need to watch Bridgerton, but I just haven't yet. Maybe one day I will do that.
Overrated. Dumb.
Ryan likes to yell stupid. At me about not watching it, so he's probably going to yell at you about all the things you just said. So
Jessica loves it. It's just not my thing.
That's fine, but that doesn't mean you need to say it's stupid.
Okay, you know what? World, Kelsey was correct. I retract my statement. Strike that from the record, Your Honor.
It is fine
to
say that you don't enjoy things. It is not okay. Fine to make other people feel dumb for enjoying them.
At least for TV shows. There are other things that we can definitely say than that.
Yeah, like meth or whatever. Okay, so George goes back to see Bex and make sure that they're okay and like understand and see if there's any questions because, you know, it's, again, something you probably wouldn't expect to hear. They basically thank George for making sure that they were told the truth and had all the information. Just like, I really appreciate like you telling me the truth and treating me like an equal and making me feel better about it. And then ask George to bring in scissors. Then it cuts to Meredith leaving the hospital and asking Derek for more information about the clinical trial for Ellis.
Which is very big of her.
Mm-hmm. And promising for Ellis, because, you know, it's important to put your emotions aside if it's your mother's lifelong health is at stake. And then we see Denny leaving the hospital, and we have a nice moment between Izzy and Alex where he's like, oh, he didn't get the heart. That sucks because he's a good guy. And she's like, yeah, he's a good guy. And then he looks back longingly and she's just like, oh. And then they eyeball sex each other through the doors.
Yeah. And at that part, of the show, I was like, okay, you know what? This has to be Javier Bardem. And I was like, wow, No Country for Old Men and Katherine Heigl. Totally. And it's not Javier Bardem. It's not him.
It's definitely not Javier Bardem. And then it cuts back. George is cutting Bex's hair like short because that is what they want to do. And this is a small moment, but it's a nice way to show that the parents are kind of coming around and accepting. And the mom comes in, takes the scissors, and then starts cutting the hair, which is, I think it's like just a nice way to be like, I support you. We'll get through this together. Whatever it is, it's not like just going to be done with today. We're going to continue to take this journey together.
I had no idea that that scene was going to go that direction.
Yeah. Honestly, the way they set it up, like it was a nice way to wrap up positively with what those parents were experiencing. Cause it definitely would have been super easy to write them off as just be like shitty parents and be like, well, we want you to give her breast implants or something dumb. And then I wrote, I love Addison.
As you should.
Because I think that's when they go to the trailer and she's like, I'm being passive aggressive. What am I supposed to do? Just sit around and wait for you to get over Meredith? And Derek goes, yeah, that'd be good. Bitch.
I want to talk about that scene for a second because that, like, okay. Let me, Derek, sucks. I get it. Derek sucks. I get it. Derek, I'm talking to you right now. Totally. You should be given the time to get over someone that you loved. I'm having a hard time at this point.
Thinking that you're trying to get over anybody.
Yes. And it's not even trying to get over Meredith. It's actively trying to get back into a groove with Addison. If he was actively Addison, I want you. Let's do this. But then it's like you cut to a scene of him, like the sex scene where he's like, oh, man, she said that was great.
He's like,
longing look into the distance.
Yeah, I wish it was Meredith.
Yeah, okay, fine. I could at least see that you're trying. You're satisfying your wife's itch, which is the whole reason that she cheated on you in the first place.
Right.
Okay? But don't be a dickhead. Just and don't do shit like in the elevator where you get close to Meredith and you're like, nope, I'm still into you. Let's do
it. And then also at the nursing home when she's like, I bet your wife doesn't know. And he just laughs and is like, yeah, she doesn't know. But are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh,
and that's something that's totally innocent. You could have earned so much trust with Addison in that moment and said,
Richard asked me to do this favor. And I just want you to know that, like, Meredith is involved, but it's not with her. Like, but it is related. Like,
right.
You're right. That would have been, like, such a good way to be, like, building the trust back up, bridging the gap, bringing... Ugh. I can't.
So, Addison, I'm telling you right now, you deserve better, and I can't give you a brownstone in the middle of New York, but I can give you... Yet. But I can give you this brown wood coffee table from Ashley Furniture. Come be with me. And Jessica and Marlo.
That seems like a good compromise. Okay.
I won't cook trout in the house if that's what you want.
Or ever. Okay, so Christina tells Burke that she wasn't going to keep the baby and then basically like is a ready to launch into an explanation. He's like, I don't need you to tell me why. I just wanted to know. He's like, I just want to know things. And I think it's nice because she kind of realizes that there is a middle ground between like demanding to know absolutely everything about someone and their every thought and just like wanting to just genuinely be part of someone's life and like understand who they are as a person.
Or and having some insight at all.
Yeah, it's just a nice moment for her to be like, okay, I can be vulnerable, but not to the point that I'm like so afraid of, because she clearly is like fears vulnerability. You know, she's very like doesn't want to be seen as weak or anything other than like a very successful, strong surgeon. So it's nice that he's just like, hey, you don't need to defend it. I understand your choice. I really just wanted to know where your head was at. And
which is fine.
That.
He's entitled to that, especially because he was the dad.
Yeah. Okay. And so I thought that was a good moment for both of them.
Can I also clarify? He's entitled to know what her thoughts were.
Yes.
Her body, her choice. Just to be clear.
Good clarification. He just says, I want to know things, which I like. I just wrote that. And then everyone, including Meredith, is hiding from the dog in the bathroom eating pizza. So not going great with the dog.
So you know how I said my last line or the first line of the show was the pizza meme of 2 million pizzas per day? The last line of the note that I wrote for this episode was, I want pizza. So Facebook is listening, everyone.
It knows. It knows our business. So
what an episode.
Yeah. So that was a big one. Do you have any predictions related to this episode?
I would say because I gave my predictions, I think, for the foreseeable future in our prediction episode from last week, which if you haven't listened to that, please do. It was a hoot. And there's a good story in there about Uber. If you don't have Uber in your country, Google it. If you don't have Google, ask Jeeves. I think that all my predictions pretty much stay the same. I think that Alex and Izzy, they're not happening. I think George and Izzy could have a chance to, even if it's just, you know, casual sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm getting a feeling that even though Burke is showing Christina that he doesn't want to know the why, he just needs to know something about decisions or her life in general.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Christina is going to be able to give that. And something's going to happen. Maybe there's going to be conflict with another main character or the new character coming on board where there's competition and she feels like she has to be competitive and like closed off. Something's going to happen. And I don't see them sticking out together. I could be wrong. If you're listening to this and you're like Kelsey and you're laughing on the inside, I welcome it. I thrive on it. No real changes. What would you give this episode as a ranking?
I would say I would probably give this one a 4 and a fellow. But I will be honest with you. I think I'm doing that because I know where it's headed. And I know that this is kind of like the beginning of a journey that is the rest of season 2.
And I'm excited for that.
Very much tied together.
And, me not knowing.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. So, go ahead. I cut you off.
I think that's why I would say this is a 4, because I also think that there's just like good storylines in this episode. It's nice that Alex has that redemption arc after his issues with the last guy that he killed. It's nice that he caught something that could have been missed and then followed through and, saved this guy. And was also had like that nice moment of connection. That's like, you know what, you can do it. It doesn't matter that this one didn't work out. You can keep going. Love the Beck storyline with George. Thought that was great. Denny was there. And love Burke and Christina, love Bailey. Didn't get much Meredith, which is fine. Too much Derek, but whatever. At least I had a healthy dose of Addison.
Well, but you also got enough of Derek of now where I'm on your side currently.
Yeah. So, So that's what I would give it. Where are you with your rating?
I'm at a 3. I'm at a resident. And I was actually going to rank it lower, but you brought me up. I was going to give it an intern 2.9, an intern 0.9.
Wow.
But I think the Beck storyline is something that I think is really challenging to do in 2006. Brought that up for me. And also, I think it was low because I wanted more Bailey. The Izzy storyline, I just feel bad for her, right? Falling in love with someone who's going to die is just, in general, I think, a sad story. And also, just Derek, fuck you, dude. Just shut up. I'm mad at you.
Yeah.
But I'm at a 3. I'm at a resident.
Okay. I think that's solid for this one. Check out our mid-season episode that we just did for all of Carmen's predictions that will most certainly not all come true, but maybe one of them isn't terribly wrong. Who knows?
Maybe all of them are perfect.
All of them are really wrong. We'll see. You'll know. If you listen and you probably know which is what. Just let us know if you have any comments, suggestions, feedback, anything like that. We love recording these, and hopefully things we will be able to get our schedules back on track when I am fully moved in to a different house. So that's going to be fun.
We didn't talk about this, but can I just interrupt here and say, if there is ever an episode that we skip or when we miss and it happens after we record, please know that the best source of truth for that is our Instagram page, at Grey's Academy Pod, because moving is never anything that's easy. So please bear with us, but we try to get ahead of those things. But go to the Instagram page if you want to be up to date on those kind of things.
Yes, hopefully when this episode aired, I will be fully moved into a different house in a different state. So all of this equipment's getting packed up like tonight. So if there's an issue with it, we're not going to do anything about it for like a little while. So if you're missing anything in the next couple of weeks, you can find out why there. Also, just follow us there because we want you to. And then you can share us to all of your friends, which you should also do if you are listening. If you have a moment to leave those ratings or reviews, again, super helpful. And we'll definitely shout you out on the show and read your review. It's super exciting for us to get them. Just so you know, there is like a weird delay if you do it on Apple Podcasts, because I guess they like read them and make sure you didn't just like write fuck, 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 or whatever. I don't know. So
those are the kind of things you can put in an email to us.
Yeah, for sure. We'll shout you out that as well. But if you leave one and we don't immediately shout you out, just know that it's either a recording timeline of when we saw it or like some, there's just a delay with Apple like making sure that they'll post it. So, but we promise if you do leave a review, we will shout you out on the show and also really, really appreciate it. And if you could just share us on your social media, we'd super appreciate that. Again, feel free to reach out with questions, thoughts, concerns. If you're a doctor and you know all the answers to any of our dumb questions, that's also cool. But thank you so much again for listening. And remember, if you do reach out,
no spoilies, and we will see you all in the next one.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Code
Toyota salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.